and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
You're tuned into your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Police are releasing body cam footage soon following yesterday's mass shooting in Louisville. This comes as we learn more about the shooter himself and how he got his hands on an assault rifle.
Authorities say the 25-year-old bought the weapon he used a week ago. Louisville Metro Police Chief Jacqueline Gwynn Villarroel.
He purchased the weapon used in this tragic incident on April the 4th. He purchased the weapon legally from one of the local dealerships here in Louisville.
Eight others were wounded in the shooting, including police officer Nicholas Wilt, who had graduated from the training academy just 10 days earlier. He was shot in the face and is in critical condition. Jim Crisula, CBS News.
In Tennessee, Governor Bill Lee is calling on the General Assembly to bring him new red flag law legislation to sign. He says some people shouldn't have guns.
It is possible and it is important that we find a way to remove individuals who are a threat to themselves or to our society, to remove them from access to weapons.
It's a response to the school shooting in Nashville, where six people died last month. The Manhattan DA, who's prosecuting former President Trump, is now suing Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan. The suit claims Jordan is trying to interfere with their criminal case after announcing that he'd be holding a field hearing in New York next week to highlight the city's crime rate. The DA's office calls it a political stunt. The FBI is now leading the investigation into leaked classified military documents. CBS's Kimmy McCormick.
The number of people who received these photos and other intelligence is being cut significantly, and one official says printers authorized to print classified documents register a unique ID, so that could be helpful in searching for who leaked the information.
The Irish town of Carlingford is excited for President Biden's arrival. Mr. Biden's great-great-grandfather, James Finnegan, lived there before he left for America in the 1940s. Eamon Thornton calls the president a local.
He's coming home to, as president of America, the most, you know, a great achievement for the area.
Hollywood writers are taking a vote soon on whether to strike. CBS's Steve Futterman is in Los Angeles.
The contract between Hollywood producers and the Writers Guild of America expires on May 1st. Writers are voting this week on whether to authorize a walkout. The key issue is compensation. The writers claim that although budgets have soared, their salaries have not. A strike could bring a large percentage of TV and motion picture production to a halt.
The last writer's strike was in 2007. That lasted 100 days. And much like COVID, it completely shut down productions. This is CBS News.
Hire with minimal effort and maximum success with Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Like any good agent, we're here for the open house, for the closing, for handing over keys. But because we're Realtors, we're here for so much more. Agents who are Realtors volunteer at nearly three times the national average. We're working to broaden access to credit, increase affordable housing supply, and ensure fair housing for all. And Realtors are bound by a code of ethics. We're here for it all. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors. That's who we are.
Good work partner knows what you need before you need it. That's how it feels when you work with Cintas. Your dedicated Cintas service reps get to know your business and have the industry knowledge that can help you prepare for what's ahead. They'll deliver your team's workwear freshly laundered, make sure your first aid and safety supplies, mats, mops, and towels are stocked when you need them, and your fire extinguishers are inspected and in working order. Visit Cintas.com.
Oh, I'm ready!
And get ready for the workday.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
The Elks Lodge in Wisconsin Rapids is a proud community supporter, and it's easy for you to be a part of their work. Have fun and join them for their weekly Wednesday bingo night, or enjoy their full restaurant menu on Wednesday and Friday. And don't forget their excellent Friday fish fry. Or better yet, become an Elk today and be part of the nearly $30,000 they give back to the community each year. Call 715-423-1930. 715-423-1930. Elks care and Elks share. Become an Elk today.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kaye.
Here's what you need to know. The Stevens Point Area Single Track Association is asking mountain bikers to stay off the trails at Standing Rocks. Trails are not technically open yet because there's still snowpack on sections of the trail. If bikes go through now, it will cause tire ruts and damage to the trails on muddy sections. They're working to clean up the trails over the next week, but do not have time to repair tire ruts. The unemployment rate in Wisconsin remains low, but with the Federal Reserve expected to increase interest rates again to curb inflation, any rosy picture of the state's economy is temporary. That's according to Stephen Deller, a professor of agriculture and applied economics at the University of Madison, Wisconsin. He said there's a general consensus that the Federal Reserve will raise interest rates two more times to tamp down inflation. In sports, the Brewers lost to the Diamondbacks last night. Corbin Burns starts tonight for Milwaukee. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Lows of aloft around 56. Tonight, under mainly clear skies, winds out of the southwest, 8 to 15 miles per hour. High temperatures reach up to 81. Tomorrow, sunny skies and calm. Tomorrow night, lows of aloft around 56. Upper 70s. Thursday, turning cooler. Friday, with highs in the mid-70s and showers. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 76.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news talk and sports is on 97.5 FM, locally grown radio. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. It ain't a two for Tuesday, not exactly, because Dom's doing Italy, and Crudy's flying solo. Well, that's not entirely true. I got Ebone here with me in the Solidarity Realty Studios, WMDX, Madison, Wisconsin. Ebone, lightly screening your calls all day long, just a little bit, a skosh, and you can join us. And I'm going to need your help today. I'm not exactly flying solo because you're going to join me on the phones at 844-967-2789. And also, a friend of the devil's, John Nichols. And Ebone, I don't know if you know, late ask for John Nichols. It's been a busy day around here, but I was reading the headlines at the Capital Times here locally where John is the associate editor. And John is declaring Scott Walker the biggest loser of the spring elective cycle. And I read no further. I just dialed John and said, John, please, let's Walker bash a little bit today. We'll share with you. John joining at 4:30. Can't wait. And I mentioned, you know, Dom's gone, probably in no small part, a planned vacation. But it's moving day. It's moving day for Mad Radio. We're moving. You know, the announcer's been telling you guys for a while. Broadcasting live from State Street. Not exactly true. Not yet. Getting there. Move today. At least the administrative offices and all the functionality and all the furniture, mostly, except the studio, we moved into the new space, 200 State Street, right down above the Comedy Club on State and across from the Overture Center, Dayton and State Street. I'm feeling great about being on State, radio on State, feeling great. So we are living through a little bit of chaos in the shortest of run. And Dom saw that as a good time to exit stage left.
Just going
to
duck out for a little bit.
So him and the beautiful Mrs. Salvi, I hope they have a wonderful romantic trip to Italy. And I will be envious of them the entire time. But let me ask you. Ebone, I suspect you're still a younger guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Moving day. Are you still in the get a pickup truck?
100%. 100%.
And call six of your former best friends.
One of them shows up, you know, and then yeah, over 2 days, it's always 2 days, you move your entire life from one place to another. And it's exhausting. I'm
two
over
days,
it.
2 days. No, never 2 days. Not
see, and it's just, it, we never move more than 7 or 8 miles. That's part of it.
You can't move in stages, man. You can't move in leaps and starts and carloads and armfuls. That's a horrible way to move. I know, I've done it many times, but it's a horrible way to move out there in the world. I'd also be curious. We're going to talk about some of the political headlines of the day. But today was moving day. Not the worst move that I've ever experienced. Actually, Mad City Movers here in Madison, pretty impressed with the service we got. Second time they've moved our company. Strangely, second time they've moved my company in like 18 months. We moved in here like 18 months ago, E-Bone growing. It was Devil Radio back
then. I'm going to miss this place.
Well, we're not going to miss it yet. We're still broadcasting from here.
True.
Still building out the engineering at the downtown studios, but the office structure is up and running. And I got to tell you, maybe it's my propensity to want to move every item in the house or the office, because I've been a small business owner for a number of years, and I've moved those as well. It's no more fun, no easier. You know, instead of calling up your friends, at least you can encourage the staff, please, at least pack your desks. You know, you're not fired unless you fail to pack your desk. Then you might be fired. Pack your desk. Most do. Everyone did. In fact, I was the guy with the armloads of crap this morning. The mover gave me a big box. He's like, you know, put your loose items here. He says it with, you know, not disdain, but a little disdain, because I'm making his life tougher. But I get this bright idea. When my wife and I and our kids were still small then, when we moved into our current house in Middleton, and I hired like a couple of guys with the truck, and they have a name, you know, something similar to that. And somehow they were misdirected or didn't show up for like an hour, the whole first hour. Well, I only had these guys for like 3 or 4 hours. So they barely got the furniture packed in the truck. And there was tons of stuff that did not make it on the truck the first time through. And they unloaded the truck and they said, well, that's all the time we've got allocated. We've got other projects.
Oh, come on now.
Yeah, yeah. Like, they no longer had enough time to move and put the second load in the truck.
Mm-mm. No.
And so one of the guys, and did I mention it was about 95 degrees that day, just a particularly hot, humid summer day in June. And so anyways, what am I going to do? And, you know, my wife still got a handful with these two toddler-age kids at the time. So as much as she may have wanted to be help, she wasn't going to be the one. And I, long since prideful crudy and short on friends, I've moved beyond the point of inviting friends to help me move. I've just learned my lessons through being invited too many times myself. Big guy, strong back. Hey, crudy will help. I've helped many, many times. But anyways, that day, I had to pay the one kid cash, and I think I had to go rent a U-Haul. And he and one of the guys working side hustle style that night in the dark loaded up the rest of the stuff. And over the course of that day, I lost, and I'm not a skinny guy, but I lost about 10 pounds.
It's a ton of work. I was only half joking when I said I'm sort of over it. It's a ton of work. It burns you out. Moving every more than every 2 years would be ideal, right? There was a period where my wife and I would move, I don't know, about every 2 years. And that seems like a good chunk of time, but I was over it, just done with it.
You know, at least I've never done the cross-country move.
Exactly.
I have with my mom. We didn't, when I was a kid, we did a cross-country move in the U-Haul, went across the Appalachian Mountains and moved to North Carolina. But I've never done that to my family. But I understand a few people have moved cross-country and then the movers take their life's possessions hostage. I'd be curious. Got a few political headlines. Got a fine guest coming at 4:30. John Nichols from The Nation, from the Cap Times locally. But what's the worst moving experience you've ever had? 844-967-2789. See if John wants to talk headlines or worst move ever, John. Which is it? Welcome, John, from Boaz.
Yeah, I'm kind of like the last time I moved was the worst because, you know, the cause and effect.
Yeah.
of psychology. Well, my house burned down.
Oh, no, John.
So I had to move. I had no choice. You know, I lived in the tent city for about 2 months. That was it.
Wow.
So I bought the good old Boaz feed mill, and I'm turning it into a nice shop for all my toys. Do you know anybody who wants to buy a tugboat?
A tugboat? Is it seaworthy, John?
Yeah. You bet. Guaranteed, just like the Titanic. Unsinkable.
You know the best 2 days of owning a boat? You know, the day you buy it and the day you sell it.
You know, I was thinking that there's only three things about moving.
Yes, sir.
The worst three things for a woman's lifetime is getting a divorce, a death in the family, or moving.
Certainly amongst the most stressful days, and can be amongst, you know, things like losing a family member. Yeah, moving can be very stressful. I remember when I was a kid, John, it was tough. Last question for you, quick, buddy. So is this tugboat in a navigable body of water? Could it be moved? Because, you know, I'm down for strange and unusual trades, John. Would you take a trade for it?
I'll take you out and show you the ropes on a calm day.
Which body of water, John?
Well, I'm looking at Governor's State Park or Redstone up in Redstone is way up in Sauk County.
Well, John, I'm sorry to cut you short, my friend. I was going to say, John, you, sir, might be more serious about this tugboat adventure than I. But if we could drag Dom along, maybe we could partner in this endeavor. We could. What would you do with the tugboat, though? You know what I mean? Like, do you move other boats? Do you try to do commercial ventures?
Yeah, yeah.
Because tugboats are slow. You can't go out and take them fishing or something, right? Can't water ski behind a tugboat, presumably. Maybe I'm wrong. A couple of outboards on the back, just big old Evan Roods, let her rip. Ebone, one of the political headlines of the day, and, you know, if you'd like to talk politics, between here and John Nichols, coming at 4:30 Central Time, and John's big headline of the day, effectively Scott Walker, the biggest loser of the spring elective cycle, but perhaps our friends to the south, the Windy City, got the DNC for 2024. And some of you are new friends. You haven't known the Devil's Advocates forever, but we did a lot of lobbying and advocating for the DNC to come to Milwaukee in 2020.
Talked about it many times. Yeah.
I mean, we had Tom Perez, the former DNC chairman. Tom Perez was a Milwaukee boy. Not only did he get married on Brady Street, the guy honeymooned, you know, he did the rehearsal dinner. He did the bachelor party. They did the old style wedding. And most of it was Brady Street, where we had our very first little radio station. I remember moving into that place. Today went a little smoother, I got to tell you. You know, professional movers. I hardly sore at all. I will be tomorrow, though, I suspect. Come back with us. Chicago, the recipient of the Democratic National Convention 2024, partying a little south of us. You know, I hate to go to Chicago. No, that's not true. I like the party in Chicago. Just don't like the football team there much. Did I mention the Bears? Bears still suck. Dom's gone. You can be part of this big show today. In his absence, he's a European vacationing. He'll be back next week. I'll be back after this short break. You'll stick.
Friends come in all shapes and sizes. Pet of the Week is brought to you by the Kellner Club and the Southwood County Humane Society. What can you expect at the Kellner Club? Of course, cold beer and good drinks. Music, too. It's always a blast. Kellner Club is the headquarters of Midwest Nice, the place where you get together with friends and meet new ones, too. The kind that are happy to see the millionth photo you took of your dog. Adopt, then stop and show your new friends at the Kellner Club a picture of your new pet. Kellner Club, 4111 80th Street South, Wisconsin Rapids.
Consumers everywhere are loving the benefits of buying locally produced food. Not only is it fresher and more nutritious, it's also good for the local economy. With state-of-the-art facilities throughout the Midwest, the Village Hearth buns you already love are baked and delivered fresh daily to your local grocer. So whether you like unsliced old-fashioned hamburger and hot dog buns or prefer classic white or wheat, just look for the familiar red Village Hearth logo on the package and you've made the right choice. Village Hearth buns, locally baked and delivered fresh daily.
What's that smell? You smell that? I hear that same thing every day. I'm Crust Buster Crockett, and I can tell you, I sure do smell that. That there's the sweet smell of cherry pie. That's the only thing you smell when Crockett's septic pumper trucks come a-rolling down the road to pump your septic and holding tanks. Hoo-wee! They sure do a good job keeping your system clean, and Crockett Septic can also take care of your porta-potty rentals, too. Just give them a call, 715-712-3456. Tell them Crust Buster Crockett sent you.
Crockett Septic serves you near or far. Holding tanks and septics pump right there in your yard. They got porta potties ready for you too. They'll pump away that stinky nasty poo. Crockett Septic, be there in a jiff. Crockett Septic, no more nasty whiff. Crockett Septic, they won't make you cry. Their pumper trucks smell just like cherry pie.
Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. The Devil's Advocates, because freedom.
To the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a Tuesday edition. Your calls, welcome here, 844-967-2789. Mad Radio Moving Day, Civic Media Moving Day. We've been growing this little enterprise, and we've, you know, been sticking 10 pounds of you-know-what in a five-pound bag. And today, the seams burst, and we moved our operations up to State Street. And it was a pretty compact, pretty efficient move. We've still got some of the broadcast operations here on the University Ave studios. So, you know, we didn't move every last item, which probably saved us a couple hours. But we moved the vast majority of our operations so we can get our efficient, warm, fuzzy blanket of truth network going uptown. And I'm just curious, if anyone's had a disastrous moving day, you know, I had one bad one, just sweated my you-know-whats off and lost like 10 pounds. Probably good for me. You know, I needed to lose the 10 pounds. But anyways, that, and here's a political headline, or at least an opinion piece. Dave Zweifel over at the Cap Times. Shunning federal funds is killing rural hospitals. And this could be the case to disastrous ends here in the state of Wisconsin. I want to read some from this opinion piece. Our friend John Nichols from the Cap Times coming soon. While everyone was focused on this past week's elections and their aftermath, interesting information about Medicaid, the nation's health care program for the poor, went largely unnoticed. Oh, I noticed. The New York Times ran a detailed report on how Mississippi's refusal to expand Medicaid in the state is driving its already financially shaky rural hospitals out of business. Well, Scott Walker was turning us into Mississippi. I read on, though. One rural 208-bed hospital that serves the state's impoverished Delta region is down to just 13 inpatients. Its intensive care unit and maternity ward have closed due to lack of staffing. All signs, the story said, of a hospital ravaged by too many poor patients who have no health coverage. The hospital CEO resigningly said it had lost $17 million last year alone and is nearly out of its cash reserves, adding, "We're going away. It's happening." Rural hospitals are struggling all over the nation because of population declines, soaring labor costs, and a long-term shift towards outpatient care, the story said. But those problems have been magnified by a political choice in Mississippi and nine other states, all with Republican-controlled legislatures who have stubbornly refused to expand Medicaid coverage under the Affordable Care Act. Which became law more than a dozen years ago. So 40 states have done so. 10 states have refused. Which column do you think Wisconsin's in? I'm going to read more. Guess who is one of those states? No other than our own, at least if you're listening from Wisconsin. While Wisconsin's Badger Care, our name for Medicaid, is somewhat more inclusive than the other GOP-controlled states, tens of thousands of Wisconsin citizens are still left without health coverage and would otherwise be covered if the state legislature would act. By spurting expansion, Wisconsin has left already struggling rural hospitals to shoulder the added cost because they cannot legally turn away patients, insured or not. According to the Times story, states that opted against Medicaid expansion or had just recently adopted it accounted for nearly three-fourths of rural hospital closures between 2010 and 2021, according to the American Hospital Association. Fortunately, only one Wisconsin rural hospital has been forced to close during those years, but many claim to be hanging on by a thread and have had to shut down some services, forcing residents to travel long distances to get care. Meanwhile, New York Times columnist Paul Krugman reported earlier this week that there is a significant difference between, listen closely, folks, this is stark. There is a significant difference between the life expectancy in states that have accepted the Affordable Care Act's expanded Medicaid and the few remaining states that haven't. Ironically, it's been the poorest states that have refused to take the federal funds and have suffered the biggest drop in life expectancy. Mississippi, we started there. It's the worst. Wisconsin is about middle of the 50 states. It's 77.7 years. But my home state has seen its life expectancy drop 1.6 years between 2019 and 2020. Across the state, 1.6 years. That's a lot of prematurely dead Wisconsinites. And people who live, our neighbors to the west in Minnesota, which was one of the first to accept Medicaid expansion, they can expect to live nearly 2 years longer than people in Wisconsin do. That's on average. That makes sense because it's uninsured poor who put off seeing a doctor while those with a coverage are more likely to seek treatment. Wisconsin's legislative Republicans followed then-Governor Scott Walker's lead to spur the expansion because they believed it would signal support for so-called Obamacare, which they opposed. Wanker hated it, didn't he? Meanwhile, the state has lost out on $1.6 billion every 2 years in federal funds. 1.6 times six people. Six budgets we've been through without Medicaid expansion. $1.6 billion every 2 years in federal funds that could go to increased fees to rural hospital, solving two problems on one fell swoop. Governor Tony Evers is trying again in his budget proposal. The question is, will Wisconsin join the other 40 states or stay in bed with Mississippi? It's shameful. We are Mississippi, or at least we were under the governance of Scott Walker. Now, they've lost the governor's mansion. But the Republicans are still malfeasant because they don't care about their constituents. They don't care about the bad outcomes. People are literally dying in the state of Wisconsin without cause for lack of health insurance, which would be provided to them with federal dollars if Republicans didn't have to what? Show they oppose Obamacare? I think you've accomplished that goal. Mission accomplished. Expand Medicaid now. Come back with us. We got a fine guest joining us. He is John Nichols from The Nation, from the Cap Times. John's headline that caught my attention. Scott Walker is the biggest loser. The most unforgivable, indefensible part of it was his failure to expand Medicaid. Tony Evers, by the way, joins the Empowered Caregiver Show on Wednesday night. Tune in tomorrow at 7. More of us with John Nichols next.
From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. Barron County officials are planning a candlelight vigil on Wednesday for Officer Emily Breidenbeck and Officer Hunter Scheel, who were killed on Saturday. The two officers were conducting a traffic stop based on a warrant and to check the welfare of the driver, Glenn Douglas Perry, age 50. Gunfire was exchanged and the two officers died at the scene, Perry later died in the hospital. Adams and Juneau counties are under a flood warning until 10:45 p.m. today. The Wisconsin River at Castle Rock Dam was expected to rise above the flood stage yesterday and continue throughout the day. Minor flooding is forecast at this time, but additional rises could still be coming. Aspirus Hospital in Wausau honored organ donors on Monday. A flag from Donate Life was raised, representing how one person who chooses to donate can save 8 lives. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
So, have you done sports?
Yes.
What about weather?
Done that.
I've got it! The moon!
Hey everybody, you're listening to James help Seth pick the next theme for this week's Seth Faces the Music. It's on Sundays from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio, WFHR. The problem is, he's done so many shows already, it's getting tough to find the next group of songs. Don't worry though, it'll be fine.
Yeah, alright, you got me, I give up.
That's it! The theme for the next Seth Faces the Music will be...
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time.
Ugh.
Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Kids across America are going to school hungry. Millions of kids every day. Hungry kids get sick more often and can struggle in school. It can be harder for them to focus and learn. But one simple thing can help change all of this for a hungry child in America. Good healthy food and the energy it brings. With help from caring people across America, No Kid Hungry is providing healthy meals and hope to hungry kids so they can build better futures.
We want to ensure that all of our kids have healthy meals every day.
Thank you.
Thank you for helping feed our kids.
To learn more about ending child hunger in America, go to helpnokidhungry.org today.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder. Metamorphosis, loss of who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Tired of low or no connectivity? Do you live in BTN, Bug Tussle Nowhere? We want to talk to you. Bug Tussle brings high-speed internet to the places others don't. No contracts, no data caps, truly unlimited internet. Call 877-227-0924.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Lows of aloft around 56. Tonight, under mainly clear skies, winds out of the southwest, 8 to 15 miles per hour. High temperatures reach up to 81. Tomorrow, sunny skies and calm. Tomorrow night, lows of aloft around 56. Upper 70s. Thursday, turning cooler. Friday, with highs in the mid-70s and showers. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 76.
We were. Not for you, of course, John Nichols. You're always a winner.
Well,
but your headline, I found it quite captivating. Your opinion piece at the Cap Times. Scott Walker was the biggest loser on April 4th. You know, I was just reading from Dave Zweifel's column, the shutting of federal funds killing rural hospitals. Well, Scott Walker, his governance, it was a lot about hating on Obamacare, and really it was at the expense of the people of the state of Wisconsin. John, we continue to suffer from the bad leadership of Scott Walker, do we not?
Oh, I don't know. I just took the train up to Minneapolis, and that was great.
I went to Minneapolis last weekend. I had to drive, John.
Oh, I guess it was a magical train that didn't ever come because Scott Walker cut off the money for it. But I was using the internet up north. Oh, no, he cut off the federal money for that, too. And you're right. Scott Walker, because of his rigid ideology, was literally willing to deny Wisconsinites things that they needed, like transportation, communications, and health care. So right off the bat, he's a bad guy. And then he kind of, you know, took away our labor rights, undermined our voting rights, and gave us gerrymandered maps. So on balance, not going to get the highest marks from me.
Yeah, but he brought us Foxconn, John. That worked out so well.
Almost.
John, of course, you tied Scott Walker into the electoral loss, and it was a big loss for Dan Kelly. Kelly was a Walker appointee to the court way back when Prosser retired, but he had already lost that appointment. He couldn't hold that short-term incumbency. He had already lost to Kurofsky by 163,000 votes, but of course, Scott Walker, he was still endorsing his former appointee this round, wasn't he, John?
Oh, yeah. He was out campaigning for him. I mean, he was very, very active as a Dan Kelly backer. In fact, I think it's safe to say that Dan Kelly's success owed a lot to Scott Walker. Because Scott Walker campaigned for him personally, tweeted about he's all over social media talking about how vital it was that Dan Kelly won, and then he wrote pieces for the Washington Times, the conservative paper out in Washington, on Kelly's campaign. He was, you know, pretty much everywhere that something could be said about Kelly, he was doing it. And I think it's fair to say that Wisconsinites probably noticed that. I'm sure that helped Kelly a lot.
Well, of course, it didn't lift Kelly to electoral victory. Kelly to be a particularly contemptuous sort of man as a candidate. We knew that the last time. And, John, it seems to me that Republicans continue to embrace, I don't want to say unelectable candidates because sometimes they win, but just they're really not likable human beings. And their positions don't reflect the majority positions of the state of Wisconsin, do they?
Nope, they do not. I think, you know, look, you had a pretty pure test with the Protasiewicz versus Kelly race, right? Because Protasiewicz was very open about her positions on the issues. She said she would talk about her values, not about cases, but her values. And those values included supporting a right to choose, supporting labor rights, arguing for democracy as opposed to gerrymandered maps. I mean, she was clear on where she was at. People didn't have any question on the economic, the political issues going into the campaign. Kelly tried to play a silly game, right, and say, I don't have any opinion. But somehow, every right-wing group in Wisconsin figured out that despite the fact that he said he didn't have opinions, his opinions were probably the same as theirs. And so you had real clarity in this race, a candidate of the right, a candidate of the left, a candidate backed by the Republicans, a candidate backed by the Democrats. Both of them, at the start of the race, you know, relatively unknown, even though Kelly had run statewide, I don't think most people knew him that well. Huge amount of money spent, most expensive judicial race in the history of the state, of the nation. And what did they do? People decided by 200,000 vote margin, 11 points, that they favored Janet Protasiewicz. That's a pretty clear signal that the combination of Dan Kelly and the conservative brand just isn't working in Wisconsin. And I would point out that that's not just Madison and Milwaukee County. If Janet Protasiewicz would have won the state of Wisconsin, even if Dane County wasn't voting, right, it would have been a closer margin, but she would have won even without Dane County. So she won statewide. And the important thing to understand is that many of the counties where she won, the 27 counties that she won around the state, are places that voted for Scott Walker in the past, that voted for Donald Trump in the past. And clearly, a lot of people have started to have second thoughts. And that's not just in liberal areas or even moderate areas. If you look at places like Walworth County, and that Walworth County
historically one of the most Republican counties of the state, historically one of the most conservative counties of the state. 45% of the people voted for Janet Protasiewicz. Up in some of the suburban counties around Milwaukee, you got up to 47, 48% for Protasiewicz. And so she was winning not just in liberal areas, but in some rather more conservative areas.
John, how much of that do you think, sir, is attributable to the Dobbs, the overturning of Roe v. Wade? And you talked about Protasiewicz, you know, making a clear case for where she stood. I'd be curious. Do you think that Justice Rebecca Dallet first set that example as a, you know, a candidate of the left, if you will? She had a primary against Tim Burns, I believe, and she came out more clearly than many candidates historically did. And I think it was a good example. And I think to a lesser degree, Karofsky followed it. And to a greater degree, I think Protasiewicz followed that example with success. John, is that, you know, they don't hide from their positions like they used to.
That's exactly right. And historically, when you ran for the Supreme Court, you kind of did a dance, right? You winked and nodded rather than actually saying things. Janet Protasiewicz, born and raised in Milwaukee, you know, I think just came out of the Milwaukee County DA's office, serving as a judge in Milwaukee County. I just think she's a little more blunt, right? A little more, you know, plain-spoken. She doesn't want to play games. And so from the start, she said, I'm going to talk about my values. I'm going to tell you where I'm coming from. If you don't like it, obviously you won't vote for me. If you do like it, you will. And what happened was that I think her values aligned very much with where Wisconsin's at. Polling shows, for instance, on the issue of reproductive rights, that, you know, well into the 60s, you know, 65-66% of Wisconsinites are basically supportive of abortion rights. And in fact, when you talk about, you know, at least a baseline support, protection for women in cases where health or other issues are involved, you get way up into the high 80s, close to the 90% support. So the right-wing stance of banning abortion, making it exceptionally hard for women to get abortions, even in very difficult circumstances, that's incredibly unpopular in Wisconsin. People don't like it. And so there she was right off the bat in a position that gave her a tremendous advantage, and I think especially with younger voters. Then, if you look at, for instance, the issue of labor rights, on labor rights, we have polling now that shows, you know, someplace in the range of, you know, high 60s, even 70% of Americans support labor rights. There's no reason to believe that Wisconsinites aren't roughly in line with that. So her stance, critical of Scott Walker's Act 10, was in touch with where Wisconsin was at. And then finally, on the issue of gerrymandering, you will not find a poll anywhere that tells you that people like gerrymandering. In fact, that's Democrats, independents, and even Republicans tell you it's a bad thing. It's bad for democracy. It's bad for representation. And so when she was criticizing gerrymandered maps, again, she's speaking directly to where the people of Wisconsin are at. So, you know, Kelly just didn't have an issue. He had nothing to work with. He went with hyper-negative, attacking Janet Protasiewicz, suggesting that somehow she was going to impose her will on the state, as if he wasn't going to do that. When in fact, what Protasiewicz is arguing was going back to a traditional balance, right, where the court, you know, heard cases, but it didn't go to extreme partisan positions as it has over the last 12 years, 15 years since conservatives took charge.
Folks, you are listening to the Devils Advocates Radio Show. Got a fine guest live via phone. He is John Nichols from The Nation, from the Cap Times. I'm reading his latest. Let me get the headline right. I like this one. Scott Walker was the biggest loser on April 4th. And John, you make reference in this piece that you wrote to the voting margins, especially in like the UW-Madison campus area. Some polling stations 10-1 advantage for Protasiewicz. But the takeaway, the postmortem, the Scott Walker takeaway was, well, of course, it's liberal college professors. They've indoctrinated our children. Something like that, right, John?
Yeah, it's a lot of indoctrination if you get to a 10-1 margin, right? But no, I mean, I don't think it was liberal indoctrination. I think it was actually a conservative court, the U.S. Supreme Court that currently sits. When they reversed their 1973 Roe v. Wade precedent, with the Dobbs decision in June of 2022, I think they sent a powerful signal that, you know, A, of course, these issues are going back to the states, but B, you know, this is up for grabs, that this question of whether women have a right to choose is going to be decided at the ballot box, at least in the short term, because the U.S. Supreme Court's not going to reverse its position. So state by state, you're going to have these battles. The evidence is from even more conservative states than Wisconsin, places like Kansas, that people are not comfortable with, you know, they're not comfortable with a ban on abortion. That's coming through in Kentucky as well. It's coming through all over the country. In Wisconsin, which is a more traditional pro-choice state, I mean, that becomes an incredibly powerful issue. And then the power is multiplied, I think, among younger people for a couple of reasons. Number one, this is a much more practical issue for younger folks because obviously they face the question of whether they have a right to choose. These are folks who might be in a position where they would need reproductive health services. Secondly, I think that there's an idealism, a sense of, you know, right and wrong. And it's quite clear that on balance, not all, of course, there are people that differ, but on balance, younger folks believe that bodily autonomy, as it's referred to, is something that ought to be protected, right? You ought to have a right to choose. And so that had a huge impact. And we talk a lot about young women, and there's no question, young women, I think we're driving a lot of this. But the fact is, I talked to young men on campuses, and they tended to share the position of support for, you know, a right to choose. And so as a result, you got these astronomical margins. I don't think it's the only issue. I think young people have other issues that they're concerned about. But you had astronomical margins in campus districts, not just in Madison, where you saw those 10-to-1 margins, but up in Eau Claire, around UWM, around other campuses around the state. So the bottom line is, I think the issue played in a big way, but it didn't play in the way Scott Walker thought. Scott Walker had this fantasy, I think, that somehow if you just got enough information about Kelly's stance on the issues out, he would do better. I think that was exactly wrong. I think the more information that came out about where Kelly stood on the issues, the better Janet Protasiewicz did.
Well, John, of course, and we're coming to a break, John. My understanding is you're going to stick around. But Scott Walker, of course, assumes that somehow an anti-abortion stance is popular. And that if you just put the fear of God in these kids, somehow they would come to the conclusion that he's come to. John, like 30 seconds here.
Look, it's just not where the people of Wisconsin are. In fact, Scott Walker, on a host of issues, wasn't where the people of Wisconsin were. He was successful politically in a certain moment in history, I think, as a reaction to a lot of stuff going on in Washington, and frankly, with tremendous benefit from huge amounts of money coming in from the Koch brothers and other people. That doesn't play anymore because the Democrats have pretty much equal funding, and also because, on balance, what's happened over the last decade has suggested that the approach that Scott Walker took, which gave rise to the approach.
Ready to ride?
Just let me get my flip-flops on.
Whoa, Mom and Dad are going for a ride without their protective gear.
Quick, grab the checklist. I'll grab the gear.
Just where do you two think you're going without your safety gear?
Yeah, you know how we feel about riding without your gear.
Well, it's so nice out.
And we're only going for a short ride.
Not before you put all this gear on, you're not.
But,
riding pants?
Okay.
Check.
Motorcycle boots?
Bye-bye, flip-flops.
Check.
Armored jackets?
Nice.
Check.
Riding gloves?
Two pairs.
Check.
Last but not least, full face helmets.
Check.
Now you're ready to ride.
And you look cool.
All the gear, all the time. Zero in Wisconsin. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov.
Be home on time for dinner.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation.
What's your favorite thing about a good movie? What makes the perfect song? And what's it about the first lines of a book that will snatch our attention? If these questions intrigued your artsy interest, you don't want to miss Director's Cut on WFHR every Sunday night from 8 to 9. Your WFHR program director, James, and head of production, Seth, will be diving into the local arts and entertainment, hot topic movies, hidden gems, and more. Audience feedback and requests are encouraged for this fun and open conversation about art in all its forms. It's artists supporting artists, in their own words.
Hey, what's up, y'all? I'm Kelly Clarkson, and as the daughter of a school teacher, I know just how important education is. No matter how old you are or your situation, continuing to learn will enrich your life and help remove barriers you didn't even know were there. So much opportunity, y'all. Whether it's a foreign language, history, or a different way to look at things, take some time each day to learn something new. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Let me ask you, I didn't see you specifically address it, or maybe I skimmed it too quickly, but the NRA and guns. And I've got a 19-year-old that voted this spring and has voted in a couple of elections now. My youngest will turn 18 between now and Election Day next November. I know Dominic's youngest just voted in her first race for Janet Protasiewicz. But I wonder, John, to your opinion, you've got kids. These kids are doing active shooter drills in school. Every night when they come home, if the parents have the news on, they hear about another mass shooting literally every day, John. How much do you think the issues and guns and Republicans' sort of intransigence to do anything that is on the wrong side of the NRA or the Second Amendment, John?
Well, I think it is an issue. And I think that it's an interesting issue because it doesn't necessarily top the list in most polling, right? Other issues, economics, you know, right to choose, things like that tend to go higher on the polling list. But it's something that I think hovers over every race. And because there have been so many horrific mass shootings in the last, you know, few weeks, I mean, it's coming at a terrible rate. Because of that, I think people are conscious of it, and it does figure into the mix. The NRA, of course, does most of its spending in a very targeted way. They communicate directly with their members, usually through direct mail. They don't do as much TV advertising and things like that. And so as a result, they tend to be mobilizing their own folks. But the fact of the matter is, if it's clear that one candidate is backed by the NRA, I think that doesn't help in the overall vote total, especially in Wisconsin. Remember, Wisconsin is a state that likes hunting, right? But the NRA has become increasingly identified in Wisconsin and nationally, not with hunting, but with the interest of the gun industry, with companies that want to sell a lot of guns, no matter what impact it has on society. And so I think that it's notable that in many counties where there's a lot of hunting, like northern Wisconsin counties, like Douglas, Bayfield, Ashland counties, those counties voted for Janet Protasiewicz by very wide margins, getting into the 60% range there. In southwestern Wisconsin, again, where there's a lot of hunting, places like Vernon County, they voted for Janet Protasiewicz by high margin. And so she was doing fine in areas where people own guns. And I think that's an important message, that responsible gun owners, I think, increasingly are not that influenced by the NRA's messaging. And I think that was revealed by this election. I think it was revealed by the governor's election last year.
John Nichols, in part, Protasiewicz's campaign cast Dan Kelly through the prism of his participation in the false elector scheme and, you know, sort of the anti-democratic overtone that sort of semi-fascistic coup attempt has. But do you think they have tied the issue of democracy in with the fair maps, the gerrymandering issue here in the state of Wisconsin? It was probably, behind the Dobbs decision, the second most referenced issue, I think, during the political campaign. John, it is my opinion that we don't have a one-person, one-vote sort of fair democracy when the maps are so gerrymandered in the state of Wisconsin. They clearly do not reflect the will of the voters. And therefore, our legislators are completely unresponsive to the will of the voters, John. Until we solve that problem, I think every other problem is secondary, John, because you can't get to the solutions with Republican intransigence in a two-thirds majority that might start impeaching people.
Mm-hmm. Look, bottom line is that unless you have representative democracy, then it's only the courts that are going to decide issues. And obviously now we have a more liberal court, or one that will come in as a more liberal court. And that may, you know, mitigate some issues. Perhaps the reproductive rights issue will be decided by the court. It's possible that this court might toss out some of the most rigorous anti-labor legislation. It's, you know, there may be some good things that come from the court. But any kind of forward progress for society, any kind of, you know, thoughtful budgeting, you know, investment in public education, things like that, that's, you're only going to get that if you have representative democracy. And we don't have that in Wisconsin right now. In fact, national surveys show Wisconsin to be, you know, one of the least democratic states in the U.S. In fact, we're comparable to some very less than, you know, fully realized democracies around the world. When you go to vote in most of Wisconsin, what you're going to find is that, you know, it doesn't matter where you're at, it's just like a candidate, whatever. The district's going to vote. And locked in a great year, as they did in 2018, or a good year, as they did in 2020, 2022, doesn't change anything. I mean, you still end up with essentially locked in Republican majorities. Even this year, you had the Supreme Court race. You had an open turnout, to sort of say with. She did very, very well. And in District 8, where there was a special election, that district is so radically gerrymandered that you still ended up with a Republican narrowly winning it. And I think that's a reality we have to accept. I think Wisconsinites don't like it. They have every reason to dislike it. It is, it makes, you know, our you know, elections kind of ridiculous at the lower level, at least at the legislative level. And so, yeah, I think there's a motivation for a change there. If the Supreme Court, this new Supreme Court, were to take up a gerrymandering case and toss out the existing maps and either order a draw of new maps or do the draw themselves, I think that would be incredibly popular with the people of Wisconsin. I don't think they have any risk there at all.
John Nichols, have you thought through, and we're down to our last, like, 90 seconds, John, the timeline? We know there's a threatened piece of litigation coming from Fair, what is it, Fair Wisconsin, Law Forward, my bad.
Law Fair. Law Forward, yep.
So we know there is potentially a suit coming, John, that could be the vessel of trying to put this before the Wisconsin Supreme Court. If everything goes well, John, what's that look like? Mm-hmm. Would we have different maps in 2024, or is that far too optimistic from a timeline perspective?
It's not too optimistic, but it is something you have to recognize. It's, you know, it's a difficult thing. They have to thread a needle here. If the case comes up before August 1st, when Janet Protasiewicz is sworn in, it's very possible that the current court would grab it and then try and rule in a way that would block reform. So you got to file it after January 1st. Or I'm sorry, after August 1st, my apologies. And then, you know, hope that it moves quickly to this court, that this court will take it and, frankly, move in a rapid but responsible way. And this is something I want to counsel on. If they don't do it right, then they could face a federal court challenge on it. And so it's a really delicate maneuver, but it's pretty clear that the four liberal justices on this court are committed to a pro-democracy agenda and to addressing gerrymandering. So I don't rule it out. I think it would be, you know, kind of like everything has to go right for this to have new maps for the 2024 election. Remember, they would have to be in place by April of 2024 when the petitioning begins to get on the ballot. So that's a challenge, but not beyond the realm of possibility.
John Nichols, always appreciate when you come around. Final 30 seconds, John. Will I see you at the DNC in Chicago in 2024, sir? Will we?
Absolutely. Come on. Chicago's a great town for a convention. And and they got a great new mayor. So, I mean, everything seems to be headed in the right direction.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver. And we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. My Grandpa Lou is the reason why my dad and I started racing, and I'm really proud to follow in his tracks. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. I've learned a lot on this journey with my Grandpa Lou, and the memories of my grandpa will always be with me. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Talking about Alzheimer's can be really tough, but if you notice something, have a conversation with your loved one. Encourage them to see a doctor or offer to go with them. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. The Alzheimer's Association provides care, support, and research to help you take control of the situation with your family and manage the disease together. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time to talk. A message from the WFHR, Alzheimer's Association.
Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Locally grown radio.